11. The Model A ate up another mile or two of desert highway. To Eli's eyes, most of the small signs seemed to be random numbers. Mile markers, he supposed. Local highway designations. The town clung low to the ground, like heat shimmering on pavement. At first, when it came into view in the distance, Eli mistook it for scattered slabs of rock covering the plain. As the Model A got closer and details accumulated, many of the buildings looked like mobile homes that had been converted into oblong cottages. Here and there, he spotted two trailers fused together. Low ranch-style houses and a few one-story brick buildings made up the rest of the town, maybe 50 structures in all, laid out in a crooked grid with a decent amount of space around them. The sun had bleached every building to whites, grays, and faded tans. As the town drew closer, Eli could see the skeletal remains of half a dozen or so structures, like the remains of a bomb testing site or some half-forgotten war zone. The phone poles stood apart with no cables connecting them. One close to the freeway had a distinct lean to it. "Where are we?"
"Unless I'm mistaken," Harry said, "that's the Nevada state line right over there."
She pointed at the far side of the plain, where a distant billboard-sized sign stood near the highway.
"If you're asking about the town, I'm afraid I don't know its name off the top of my head."
The Model A crossed over a low bridge. Eli wouldn't have even noticed it except for the sign telling him he was crossing a river with a name he couldn't wrap his tongue around. At least half a dozen holes punctured the sign, the same kind of holes he saw all the time through the isolated signs of his own small town. He turned back and saw a thin stream of water a foot or two lower than the highway. It ran through a wide drain pipe under the pavement. The road bent, and Eli felt a shift. Momentum tugged his stomach to the left. A lifetime of New England winters made him tense as the wheel spun on the pavement for a few seconds. Harry twisted the steering wheel into the skid, and Eli felt the wheels grab, slip, and grab again. Then the Model A seized the road and continued toward the town. Eli twisted around to look at the road behind them. "What did we hit?"
"Nothing."
"No, I mean, what was on the road?" She shook her head.
"Nothing."
He sighed and settled back on the rumble seat. The pavement on this stretch looked dark and new. Lines hadn't even been painted on it yet. An oil patch would be almost invisible against the fresh asphalt. A few more details appeared as they closed in on the town. A small diner-style restaurant sat near the main road. A gas station stood next to it, still displaying the older red-orange circle logo with Gulf in dark blue letters. A moment later, he picked out a wooden sign that read Market on one of the brick buildings. Another one had a bright white mailbox out front. A black car with huge tail fins pulled into the gas station ahead of them. Eli tried to get a better look at the front because the rear window and taillights made him think it might be a 1959 Cadillac coupe in gorgeous condition. He knew old cars lasted better in drier climates, but the caddy looked amazing. "You just passed the gas station."
"I am aware of that."
"Do you think there'll be another one in a town this size?"
"Help me find a church," said Harry, ignoring the question. "Or maybe a house that looks like no one's home."
His gaze drifted up an approaching phone pole. Three wires stretched across the arms at the top, mere threads against the blue sky. He glanced back, couldn't spot the leaning pole, and wrote it off as an optical illusion caused by the surrounding hills. The town made a much better impression up close than it did at a distance. About 30 or 40 years out of date, but it still looked pretty nice. It probably wasn't that different from Sanders, Eli realized. There were people on the streets, a few carried bags, one had a briefcase. Most of them glanced at the Model A as it drove by, but it held the attention of only a few, and even those for just a few seconds. A powder blue car passed them, and Eli craned his head to follow it. The driver noticed and gave a polite smile and nod.
"I think that was a 58 Edsel Corsair," Eli said. "Focus, Mr. Teague."
He cleared his throat. "We're looking for a church?"
"Please."
"Do you remember the time we met at the church, back in Sanders?"
"Of course I do," she said. "It wasn't that long ago for me, barely 2 months."
Eli gestured out at the Model A's hood. "You were working on the engine."
"And you were looking down my shirt."
"Well, I..." His tongue fumbled in his mouth.
"I didn't mean to." I was 13, and I didn't even know you were a girl. A woman. She shook her head.
Oh, Mr. Teague, you silver-tongued devil.
He sighed and shook his head. You told me the car ran on water, that it had a Garrett carburetor. She nodded.
Yes.
Yes, that's what you said?
Yes to all of it.
Eli shook his head again. The Garrett carburetor is an urban legend.
An urban legend with a U.S. patent.
The patent doesn't mean anything, he said. His design doesn't work.
Well, then I guess Eleanor doesn't work either.
The car's name is Eleanor?
Yes.
Why?
Because that's what her original owner named her. He saw it in a motion picture.
So how does Eleanor have a working Garrett carburetor? Harry pointed at a house that looked like a poor man's attempt to copy a craftsman home.
No one's cut that lawn in almost a month, she said. Almost a dozen newspapers between the porch and driveway. Someone's out of town.
Or lazy. Harry smirked.
I've done this once or thrice before. You get a feel for lazy over absent.
She circled the block, but when they came up on the house again, there was a man in a white hat and retro cardigan walking a small dog. They drove past, and the terrier crouched on the front lawn between two tall dandelions. The man yawned and looked at his watch.
Definitely no one home, Harry said as they circled the block again. Might even be a bad house.
Maybe he just hates his neighbor? Harry shook her head.
If he thought he was getting away with something, he'd be watching out to make sure he does get away with it. He didn't even notice this fine automobile driving by.
Yeah, murmured Eli. His eyes stayed on the 1959 Dodge Lancer parked in the driveway next door. They circled around a third time. The man with the dog was at the far end of the block. A woman across the street and two houses down emptied a mailbox. Harry's chin dipped approvingly, and she pulled into the driveway. She was out of the car before the engine stopped rattling.
Open the tank for me, please, Mr. Teague,
she called over her shoulder. Her coat fluttered behind her as she strode over to the loose coil of rubber.
Dust and cobwebs,
she said, pointing at the hose.
It's a bad house, as I said.
Eli opened the door. And that's good? He slid out the door and reached across the hood for the gas cap. It popped off in his hand and he glanced at the rubber seal. Definitely aftermarket.
Good for me.
Harry pulled 3, 4, 5 loops of the hose off its bracket and twisted the valve. The house's guts groaned, burped twice, and then spat out some rust-red liquid. The splashing stream mixed with the silt and dirt on the driveway and became a thin mudslide that raced in 4 different directions. She watered the lawn while the hose ran clear. Another car approached, a big 4-door Mercury with double headlights and a hardtop. The driver locked eyes with Eli, but drove on by. Eli took in a breath through his nose, then a second, deeper one through his mouth. The air smelled different. The tang of car exhaust and gasoline trailing behind the Mercury seemed stronger, but the air itself seemed fresher. He wondered if the desert climate kept things separate somehow. A black and white squad car rolled by down the street and drove the pleasant thoughts from his head. They stayed gone even after Eli recognized it as an old Ford Fairlane, maybe a 61. Eli glanced back. You sure it's safe to be sitting here like this out in the open? What if those cops called ahead?
They didn't,
she said, dragging the hose to the Model A. What if they call ahead to the local station? She shoved the hose into the tank.
They won't.
It rang and thrummed and sang as the water churned inside it. Harry closed her eyes and focused on the sound. He walked back to the Model A. So, he said. Guys with no faces.
Yes,
she said without opening her eyes. Who can order police around?
Yes.
Do I need to actually ask questions before you'll answer anything? She opened one eye.
Yes.
Eli rolled his eyes. Come on! Harry opened her other eye.
I'll warn you now, Mr. Teague, I may not be able to give you a satisfying answer. Most of what I know is more of, well, stories and general ideas that have been passed along from one searcher to the next.
She paused to tap the top of the hood and listen to the drumbeat of the gas tank.
My old partner taught me a lot of it, but most of it was what he'd learned from the woman who'd taught him. It's like a childhood game of secrets where he whispers to me, I whisper to you, you whisper to someone else, but the story changes a little bit every time.
Telephone game, Eli said. I remember playing that when I was a kid. Harry nodded.
There's a great deal to tell, but it's all second and third-hand knowledge at best, so, as I said, it doesn't lend itself to simple explanations.
She nodded toward the rear of the vehicle.
Would you check the reserve, please, Mr. Teague? I believe it took a shot.
He sighed and walked around the car. I still want answers.
You'll get them.
A few drops fell from the base of the red gas can to a puddle under the Model A. Eli ran his fingers across the plastic surface and found the puncture about two-thirds of the way down. The tip of his pinky could just fit into the hole. Yeah, he called out. It caught a... He glanced up and down the street. It got hit. Harry muttered to herself.
Straight through?
Eli checked. Looks like. He crouched down and peered through. A moment or two of lining up through the gas can showed him a small dimple and a scratch on the Model A's dark blue finish. Yeah, clean through. Looks like the water slowed it down a lot, though. Barely dented the car. She muttered again.
What? I said we'll have to patch it for now.
The tail-finned caddy drove past, heading home from the gas station. Eli admired its lines, then found his eyes drifting to one of the small homes.
I didn't know they still made towns like this. From your point of view, they don't.
What's that mean? She didn't answer. He walked a few paces back toward the house, his leg muscles flexed and tingled, thanking him now, warning him it would hurt later. He reached for his toes, his hamstrings quivered, and then he stretched back to look up at the house. Dust and cobwebs didn't just cover the hose, they covered the whole structure. Gray strands rounded every corner of the porch and roof, every window frame and door frame. A fine coat of gray dulled each pane of glass and fixture. The house wasn't just unoccupied, it was mummified. Eli took a few more steps and peered in through the window. A wooden chair stood a few feet out from the wall. A piece was missing from its elaborate back. A square cardboard box with sagging corners sat by the room's lone door. An empty bookshelf stood against one wall. Not entirely empty, he realized. A handful of books lay flat on the various shelves, camouflaged with years of gray dust. Something sprawled on the floor, halfway between the box and the chair, not quite at the center of the room. His first thought was a bundle of clothes, blanketed with more cobwebs and dust. Then he saw the bones and decided it was an animal that had gotten trapped in the house somehow and died. Maybe a large cat or a raccoon. But the skull looked very round for an animal and very large for the body. Harry set a hand on his shoulder.
Best to not look inside, Mr. Teague. These places accumulate history, rarely the good kind.
I think that might be...
It's long dead, whatever it is,
she said. Her hand patted his shoulder, just a faint tap, and she stepped back to the chugging hose. He looked through the window at the tiny skeleton. It was in plain sight, right by one of the main windows. He could see faint footprints in the dust all around it. Some looked like shoes, others like paws.
Shouldn't we tell someone? About what?
Eli gestured at the window. Harry raised an eyebrow.
Do you think nobody knows?
Well, Eli looked at the town, then back over his shoulder. Shouldn't we tell the police?
In a town this size, I'm sure some local deputy checks in on empty buildings at least once or twice a month.
So why haven't they done anything?
Because they don't want to know,
she said.
Or maybe they already know and they just want to avoid confirming it. Whatever that is in there, it's been there for years, at least. Perhaps decades.
Eli looked at her face. Her expression reminded him of his mother or a teacher trying to explain some basic truth that just wasn't being understood. Boredom mixed with acceptance, seasoned with sadness, dusted with a few grains of annoyance. Harry must have seen her reflection in his eyes. Her face softened.
It's a bad house,
she said.
Pretty much every town has one. One of the darker side effects of the dream.
The dream?
Yes.
He waited for her to continue. Instead, she walked back to the car, swung the red tank from its bracket, and pulled her toolbox from the trunk.
I just need a few minutes to putty the reserve, she said, and then we'll be on our way.
I thought you were going to explain the faceless men.
We're getting there, Mr. Teague, I promise.
Eli sighed, stepped over the hose toward the door, and then changed course. He kicked one of the rolled-up newspapers around so he could read the headline. Even the top one had the brittle look of newsprint that had been exposed to the elements for weeks, maybe months. The banner named it the Herald Republican, established in 1938, which left Eli wondering if Herald referred to the paper itself or the name of the town. There didn't seem to be a single main headline, but according to the largest one, the president had announced a budget surplus of over $1 billion, which didn't seem terribly noteworthy, even to Eli's dim understanding of government spending. Then he caught the first words of the article. In an official announcement in Washington, President Eisenhower declared a budget surplus of... Eli's eyes jumped back up to the banner, and the date below it. July 20, 1960. He glanced back at Harry, thumbing some kind of gummy material into the hole in the gas can, then at the Dodge Lancer parked across the road. He tried to remember seeing a single car from the 70s or later, since they came into town. He'd been distracted by all the classics, but there must have been one. He looked down the road where the man in the hat and cardigan had gone with his dog. He walked back to Harry. Where are we? She stopped blowing on the patch, a yellow, clear goop that filled the hole. It already seemed hard.
We're about a mile and a half from the Nevada border.
That's not what I mean. She blew on the patch again before flipping the plastic tank around.
Then say what you mean, Mr. Teague. No sense pussyfooting about it.
He stared at her, then at the Lancer. Are we in 1960? Harry shrugged and thumbed a wad of putty into the exit hole.
Mid-1960s, she said. Possibly early 1966, but I don't think so.
You don't think so? She shook her head, then packed a wrinkled tube of something chemical smelling back into her toolbox. She stood up and blew on the patch one more time. Eli smelled the air again, looked back at the papers.
How?
She sighed and closed the trunk.
That question covers a great deal of ground.
We traveled through time?
Through history, yes.
When?
That's a bit of a brain teaser, isn't it?
Harry carried the gas can over to the hose, swinging it back and forth through the air. Eli followed at a safe distance. Shouldn't there have been a flash of light or a tunnel or a, I don't know, something?
Do you recall the tires skidding as we approached town?
He nodded.
That was it. That was when we slipped back.
How? He asked again.
How will take a little more to explain.
She stuck the hose into the gas can and cranked the spigot again. Water sloshed into the container. Can you just give me a simple version?
I'm sorry, Mr. Teague, but no. This may be difficult to believe, but the mechanisms of traveling through history defy simple explanation.
He looked at her, back at the newspaper, then back at the gleaming Lancer in the driveway across the street. The street in the small desert town that had looked old and abandoned when they'd approached, before the skid.
Holy shit, he said.
I mean, I kind of knew. I figured it out after the second time we met, but I still didn't really, I mean, we actually did it. We're in the past.
Yes,
Harry said, pulling the hose free.
It's very exciting.
She watered the driveway a bit more while twisting the spigot off. She tapped the dried plug on each side of the gas can, nodded, and heaved the plastic can up to her hip. Eli reached to help, but she turned away and lugged the reserve back to the Model A. He followed behind her. She lined up the tank, heaved again, and dropped it into the bracket. Its weight made the car bounce once. The dream, Eli said again.
Yes.
Back when I was a kid, you said you had to see a man about a dream. She nodded once and pulled a strap across the plastic tank. Is that the thing you're looking for? The dream? Harry met his eyes.
Yes, she said. I'm one of many people searching for it.
For what? She rested her hands on the red container, her back to him.
You've asked about a lot of things, she said. My search, history, travel, the faceless men. What you don't realize is that, in truth, these are all related questions about the same thing.
She looked at him and waited.
The dream,
said Eli.
Yes. What do you know about history?
Do you mean the Middle Ages or the Renaissance or...
American history. How the United States began.
Eli's mind flitted back through grade school and high school and the half-dozen college classes that had earned him a minor. There'd also been some casual independence studies into clothing and fashion, trying to learn more about the woman he'd last seen when he was 13. The history of automobiles had been his main focus.
More than the basics,
he guessed. Still less than a lot of people, I guess.
Words of warning,
she said.
Much of what I'm going to tell you will go against what you've learned. Not just in history, but in many disciplines. Some of it's just going to be unbelievable. But it's all true.
Okay.
We should get going.
Going where? When?
East, for now. I'll explain everything as we go.
Thanks. He stood there in the driveway, his gaze flitting from the cars, to the houses, to the fresh pavement. The corners of her mouth flexed.
Get in the car, Mr. Teague. The road beckons.
Harry flipped the ignition switches. The Model A shuddered, and they backed out of the Bad House's driveway. As they headed back out of the town, Eli caught a quick glimpse of the dog walker heading into the small market and someone at the gas station with a blocky red Chevy pickup. Then the highway was under their tires again, and the Model A, Eleanor, picked up a little more speed.